That's right. Imagine all the people, John. 28 to 7 on a Friday morning. Great to have you with us. Great to have Rammer a part of the team after 7 o'clock. Dino and Quinny for the Friday form. Boomer after 8 and all that in between. Now, we're playing that song because on this day many moons ago, John Lennon was born. Now, clearly he's no longer with us, but with such an iconic man on the planet and such a famous song, we thought we'd get involved today. So, not often do we do this one where the personality, the celebrity has passed, but I'm going to ask you today, how old would John Lennon have been on this day? Which is, funnily enough, Odd Sox Day today, so Odd Sox, get them out there. Nobody will see them, of course, you can't be able, won't be able to move out of your house, but Odd Sox Day today. John Lennon was born on this day in Liverpool, England, in a year, a long time ago now, as it turns out, a legend. How old would he be, Rammer, today? John Lennon. Because you're getting so good at this, I've had to find another way to try and stump you.
Well, the Beatles were massive in the 60s, obviously, and I reckon they were really young then. They were like 19, 20, 21 sort of thing. So I'm tipping he's probably 81, 80, 82, I'll say, 82.
82 for Rammer. Whitey, how old would John Lennon have been today, please?
80.
On the number, says Whitey. Now, Craig Gabriel would have known John through the time. I'm sure he would have come across him at the All England Club just doing great things. He joins us as part of our French Open coverage on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Craig.
Morning. Now, wasn't it the All England? When I was at dinner at Michael Parkinson's place in the UK, John Lennon was there. And then a couple of days later, Michael was actually doing an interview with John for BBC at that time, but and an absolutely engaging person, truly engaging. And that song, Imagine, which is just an iconic song, amazing song, was used in the film The Killing Fields, if you ever saw that. An incredible film about the Indochina War, and it won an Academy Award, but worth seeing if you haven't, and Imagine is in there. But yeah, John would have been 80.
Oh, correct.
Oh, we're two winners today.
Yeah, well, Yoko is older than him. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to their place, to their home in New York in the Dakota Building.
I have.
It's a beautiful apartment. It really is. I mean, all the white walls and dark the flooring, with some amazing Japanese artwork. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Craig, because you knew them so well, can you confirm that Yoko's a bit of a hard taskmaster, isn't she? She sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she was the cause of all the problems, wasn't she?
Yes.
So the story goes. Craig, I might move on quickly if you don't mind. What's happening in the world of tennis at the French Open? Have we got our women's finalists?
Yes, we've got the women's finalists, and it is a Polish-American combination. Iga Swiatek. I keep on saying it sounds more Swedish than Polish.
It does.
And she played an amazing match today to beat Nadia Podorosa, the Argentine bird. struggled.
Podoroska.
Anyway, she won 6-2, 6-1 in just 70 minutes. It was a very emphatic performance from Iga Swiatek. Full marks to Nadia Podoroska, because she was the first qualifier to reach the semi-finals on the women's side at the French Open, which is a huge thing. But as far as Swiatek is concerned, she's only the second Polish woman and the first since 1939 to reach the final at Roland Garros. Now, she's going to be playing Sofia Kenin, who won the Australian Open this year, and Kenin defeated Petra Kvitova 6-4, 7-5. It was not a bad match, but conditions were really tough, very windy. It made it awkward for both players. And when she was serving for the match, she got broken. And then looked like maybe Petra was going to come back into this one. And then she lost serve, and it gave the American a second opportunity to serve it out, which she did and won it on her first match point.
All right, so we've got our women's finalists. Sophia Kennan is looking. Now, we briefly discussed this one of the other days this week, I reckon, Craig, that going for two Grand Slams in the one calendar year for the first time since, was it 2016 or something for someone?
Yeah, 2016. It was Angie Kerber who did it. And, so she's the first woman to maybe win two majors in a single calendar year.
So going into the final, which will happen on the weekend, of course, and we won't speak to you before that, tough to get a read on the form line. I mean, Podoroska's a qualifier, and Swiatek has smacked it a bit, 6-2, 6-1. Then Sofia Kennan takes out Kvitova, who's the number 7 seed. So she's played the better player to get into the final. So how do you read the form lines coming in?
Oh, you'd have to say Kennan would be favourite. She's had this experience before at the Australian Open, obviously, and she's only lost one match at the majors this year. That was at the US Open, whereas Swiatek has never been in this situation, but she's 19, so is it really going to bother her? She's just going to go out there and give it her best and hope for things to fall her way. It's happened all this tournament for her, so maybe it'll happen on one more match. I mean, this has been an event too tough to predict with so many of these results. Just when you think the favorite player is going to get through, it goes the other way. And it's happened time and again. So maybe it'll be the situation all over again for the women's final.
So, Craig, who in the men, on the men's side, we're going to see those semifinals. Who do you think is most likely to cause an upset?
Well, I think there's possibly more chance with Stefanos Tsitsipas over Novak Djokovic. There's still a question, even though the Djokovic camp is playing things down big time, there's still a bit of a question mark on Djokovic with this injury that has developed over the last day or two with his shoulder and neck. You may have seen that he's wearing one of those patches on his neck. It was taken off later. And he said it was not good at the beginning of the match, but it got better. And I've seen a couple of comments today that, it's fine, there's no issue. And when that sort of thing happens, you sort of suspect that there is something a little bit more than what's being said. So, Tsitsipas is playing really well. It's his second career semi-final. And it'd be quite something if he got through. Having said that, the conditions as far as are concerned, when you look at the Nadal-Schwartzman match, could favor Schwartzman a little bit more because they're heavier. Nadal doesn't like it as heavy as it has been. He's got through and got through very well without dropping a set. But also Schwartzman is coming into this match having beaten Nadal and being the only man to have beaten Nadal on clay this year.
Yeah, I reckon those semi-finals might be a bit closer than a lot of people think.
Yeah,
hey, Craig,
so.
Do you know much about this match-fixing controversy involving a women's doubles match?
No, I don't. I have to admit, I don't.
It's an interesting one because it's a little bit like in the cricket sense of spot fixing, because there's allegations or whatever you want to call it that there was a particular game, so it was the fifth game of a set, where there were bets on one of the teams to be broken serve, and they were broken to love, and there were three double faults and a girl slipping over as part of that game when they've done further investigations. So there were several large bets placed on it. It was the fifth game of the second set in that match. And, concerns of some spot fixing going on.
Wow.
So, interesting times.
Which was it? Because I have to admit, I have not kept up with the doubles whatsoever. It's such, it's been, to be absolutely honest, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but the fact is that this is in such a weird, unusual, out-of-the-ordinary tournament.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought that they could get away with something like that because of that situation. So, to be absolutely honest, Adam, I don't even know which women's doubles match you're talking about.
No, look, it's in fairness, Craig, it's only just emerged. But I only know of one of the players' names. So it's Russia's Yana Sitsikova and American Madison Brengel were playing against Andrea Mitu and Patricia Maria Tigg. Well, I wouldn't call them household names.
Yeah, Brengel and Tigg were in singles. Tigg is a mother. She was one of the mother's brigade that has played the U.S. Open and this French Open. And Brengel had a miserable tournament from memory as well. So, that's really interesting to hear that. But we'll see what comes of it because, that will probably end up with the Integrity Commission or Tennis Integrity Unit. We'll see what comes of it. But, that is quite something.
Speaking of women's doubles, Świątek is in the semifinals as well.
With she is. And her opponent, Kenin. Went mentally blank for a second. Kenin has been playing incredibly good doubles with Bethany Mattox-Sands. They've become best friends.
Well, the world's going mad with all that sort of stuff. But good luck to the women's finalists, and the men have still got to sort out who's going to be who in the final across the weekend as well. Who wins, Craig? We won't speak until Monday.
Just very quickly, I want to say to you, I said to Kenin, I said, if you were writing a feature on yourself, on what you're like as a player on court, what would you write? What would you say? She said one word, feisty. I'm fighting for every point. It's not easy. Definitely feisty.
That's the way.
And she knew. That's exactly right. That's exactly what I thought, and she said that.
Well, there you go. Like minds there in the genius of tennis. Now, tell just two tips before you go, women and men, who's going to win?
Yeah, I'd say Kenin will get through. And on the men's, I think, I don't know what to say, really. Because at the beginning of the year, I made the point that I didn't think Nadal was going to win the French. I thought it was going to be Thiem. But Thiem, he's out and he did well, won the U.S. Open. So, I'll say Djokovic. But, anyway, we'll see.
We will see. Looking forward to a big weekend of finals tennis there at Roland Garros. Craig, we'll chat Monday morning. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Gabriel covering the French Open with us on The Breakfast Club. Good SMS here, Whitey, just by the way. The Jazz Apple is Group 1. And I didn't know what a Jazz Apple was, I must admit, so I Googled it. And that's the one I have. That's spot on. The Jazz Apple is the key to the whole Apple system.
Okay. What colour is the Jazz Apple?
Well, it's
red and green?
It's the red and the yellowy and the green at the top. It's the bloody good apple. It's the apple that people eat. That's the number one apple. Spot on.
I'll take your word for that. Bryson DeChambeau, a bit of golf before we take some calls. Bryson DeChambeau is leading the Shriners Hospital Open in Las Vegas. He shot 9-under in his first round, including a 380-metre drive that landed on the green. So he's going very nicely.
Hang on. It flew 380.
I'm not sure. I think he cut the corner. He did something extraordinary. Right. I haven't actually seen him. I'm just reading about it. But anyway, he's going extremely well. Some of the Australians are going okay. Cam Davis is at 3-under. On the European Tour at Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship, one of my favourite players is a joint leader, Tyrrell Hatton, along with Adri Arnoux and also Justin Harding. So Arnoux did quite well last week in Scotland, but Harding, Arnoux and Hatton are leading at 6-under. Eddie Pepperell, Shane Lowry and Matthew Fitzpatrick are at 5-under. We don't need to mention Lucas Herbert because Lucas didn't. Well, he didn't play particularly well, but he did foreshadow that he was a little bit tired after what happened last week.
You didn't get on the phone and have a chat about his game again, did you? Like you did with Cam Percy?